This is Yorkshire Racing with Radio Yorkshire.
Joined by Ollie Bell, Nick Luck, Jamie Moore, Matty Batchelor, John Blantz, and Tom Scudamore, and Mark Pearson from Betfred. We'll hopefully give you a few tips. We're going to preview everything from the Cheltenham Gold Cup to the RSA. The Cheltenham preview is live until 9 o'clock.
This is Yorkshire Racing with Radio Yorkshire.
Catch your breath, Bobby Beavers, with his famous introduction to the Horse Racing Show here on Radio Yorkshire. I'm Sam Bridges. Bobby is with me, as you've already heard. And Bobby, we've got a special guest this evening as well. Luke, good evening.
Yeah, good evening. I can't say I'm going to be as enigmatic as Bobby was there, but I'll give my best.
No, yeah, that's right. So, Bobby, just give us a brief rundown. You gave us very, very quickly the rundown there. But just tell us exactly what we're going to be talking about across the next 2 hours. We've got plenty to come and plenty of special guests as well.
Yes, very shortly we're going to be talking to Ollie Bell, the Racing UK presenter. He's going to preview the Cheltenham Gold Cup with us. So we're going to be talking about Sylvain Arco-Conti, Men in Clouds, Road to Riches, etc. So we're going to be talking about the Gold Cup. We're going to be talking about the Champion Hurdle. You know, Faheen, will he win the Champion Hurdle this year? I know where Luke does have a bit of a soft spot for this horse. Nick Luck will go through it with us there. We've also got the Queen Mother Champion Chase. You know, technically it was Sayed Agrugi versus Spinta Sakura, but Dodging Bullets has put himself in that field as well. We'll speak to Jamie Moore about Sayed Agrugi. Going to talk the Arkle as well with Matty Batchelor. We'll speak to John Blance as well about the World Hurdle. And then we're going to be speaking to Tom Scudamore, who'll be riding King's Palace in the RSA. And then finally, we have the Triumph Hurdle with my nap of the festival, Peace and Co.
Oh, he's giving it away already. He's giving away the nap early doors as Bobby, but we'll get to plenty of naps and best bets across the next 2 hours here on our Cheltenham special. And, well, we might as well kick it off now, seeing as we're going to be very tight for time, Bobby. We're going to have to stop you talking. We'll have to get some tape to put over your mouth at some point in this if we're going to get through all those guests and all those races. But we'll start right now by introducing our first guest on the line, and that is racing presenter Ollie Bell. Ollie, good evening.
Good evening, how are you guys?
Yeah, very good. Are you well?
Yeah, loving it. Well, I'm actually in Los Angeles at the moment, so I'm very well.
Very nice, very nice. What are you doing out in Los Angeles?
Well.
Is it a holiday?
It's all in, dropping out the tan ahead of Cheltenham.
Oh, very nice. Very
nice. So after some intake.
Sorry, I've dropped it in a bit there, haven't I? Sorry, no, I'm just taking a bit of a holiday. Well, I was actually at Santa Anita. They had a shared belief against California Chrome last Saturday, so I came out to watch that race and take it all in. I haven't actually been racing in California before, so it was a good opportunity to come out and head to Cheltenham, get a bit of rest and relaxation and recharge the batteries of what's going to be a great week.
What's it like being out in California watching the racing?
I mean, to be fair, it's unbelievable. The atmosphere that day, because of sort of such a high-profile race against two of America's sort of highest-profile horses, a real match-up feel to the day. The atmosphere was incredible. I've got a video, actually, when I see you guys, basically, I'll show you, like, the last, I'd say, two and a half furlongs, and you can just hear the cheer as they sweep into the straight. Everyone had a side, everyone had their flags out. It was a really, really good, fun day at the races with a great atmosphere. They did it right. The right horse won, in my opinion, who was a very talented horse. So I was hugely impressed by what I saw.
Great stuff there, Ollie. Well, we have got you on as well to talk about the Betfred Cheltenham Gold Cup. Silvinarco Conte, very popular in the market, Ollie. We saw him win the King George. We saw him win the Betfair Chasers as well at Haydock. Could only finish fifth in the Charlie Hall. What do you think to the early anti-post favourite, Ollie?
Well, to be honest with you, I mean, a lot's made of his Cheltenham record and his record in the Gold Cup or his run in the Gold Cup last year, which sort of hung quite violently. Look, I can understand why that is a concern, but to my eye, he's looked a different horse this year. The Charlie Hall put him spot on for Haydock. He's then gone on to the King George and defended his crown, and he's really seen off, you know, the right sort of horses in winning those races, but not just winning them. He's been completely dominant in those races, in my opinion. He's had the Ulsters, he's got the cheek pieces put on, and they seem to have really changed him as a horse this year. He seems a lot more straightforward. There seems to be a lot more confidence behind him from the Ditchett camp in terms of his chances going into Cheltenham. So he is the one undoubtedly they have to beat, and therefore he is by far and away the correct favourite, because he was bang there jumping the last in what was a thrilling Gold Cup. It may not have been the most sort of high quality Gold Cup, but it was a thrilling Gold Cup last year. He had every chance. They've ironed out a few chinks in the armour going into this year, and we've seen that already with his performances this season. So for me, he's the one they've all got to beat.
Hi, Ollie. Luke out of here. Regarding Silvinarco Conte, do you think what do you think was the reason for the calamity last year, I call it? No one really knows what went on. Do you think it is the cheek pieces that have just completely ironed out any quirks he may have in him? Obviously, he hung at Aintree as well. Do you think the cheek pieces are the main factor in that?
Well, I mean, you know, when we see, you know, when we watch and talk about horse racing, you see a horse hanging badly, the first thing either they're feeling something physically, which is why they're hanging, and the ulcers may have been a reason for that. I'm not a good enough horseman to sort of know whether that is the case. But the other thing you'd say is, well, stick some headgear, cheek piece on, and that might iron it out. So for me, I think it is just quite simply a case of the cheek pieces seeming to do the job. I think it's, like I say, it's something that, instantly when we analyse races we go, well, he's hung quite badly, maybe they'll try headgear next time. They've obviously looked back at his season last year and gone, we need to work out whether there's a physical problem, tick, there was, we need to stop him hanging, put cheek pieces on, tick, we've got the better of that problem. So for me, I think it's quite simply that they've found the key to him this year by, you know, a bit of headgear and a bit of treatment for the ulcers. So I think it's fairly straightforward. I think we're making a bit too much of it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And Ollie, what's your opinions about Many Clouds? You know, it'd be a great achievement for Oliver Sherwood, who got his first win at Cheltenham since, I think it was the year 2000 when he won the Betbright Cup Chase, the Grade 2 on the card. We saw him win the Hennessy. You know, it'd be a bit of a fairy tale ending if Many Clouds was to win.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Oliver Sherwood is a great trainer. I think he trained his 1,000th winner, didn't he, the other day when I was out here. So many congratulations to him and his team. When I was growing up, Oliver Sherwood had horses like Large Action and whatnot. And, you know, he was, along with the likes of Kim Bailey, the sort of big name. And like Kim Bailey, sort of went a bit quiet. But now he's back with these very, very good horses, and Many Clouds, the best of them. I think a lot was made of his win in the Betbright Cup last time, saying, you know, it was a bit of a messy tactical race. But I thought he was dominant, and I don't think, you know, if it didn't suit the other horses, it certainly wouldn't have suited Many Clouds. So, for me, I think you can play up his performance as well. I think he's an improver. And after the Hennessy, I thought, you know, it was a top effort. It was a grueling race. He showed guts. He showed class. He showed plenty of talent to win that day. I thought, will he be able to kick on now and really prove himself a Gold Cup horse? And what he did at Cheltenham, for me, was an emphatic yes to that question, because I thought he was very talented to win that day. And he showed a bit more versatility than I probably gave him credit for going into the race, in so much as it could be a bit of a tactical affair. I think the faster they go in the Gold Cup, they will go faster in the Gold Cup, undoubtedly. That will suit him better. We know he stays, so you can cross that off the list. We know he jumps around Cheltenham, you can cross that off the list. I think there's a lot of positives for his chances. And also, as well, when you look down the field, you've got Bobsworth, et cetera, et cetera. I'm sure you'll mention a few other horses. To me, but you look down the field, you go, well, they can't win a Gold Cup, you know, etc. They've tried, they've failed, they can't win a Gold Cup. But Many Clouds is a horse that you can conceivably see winning the Gold Cup. He's almost like the new kid on the block, for me anyway. So he's without doubt a chance.
And another one to mention, Ollie, I don't know if you've got the chance to see his performance today at Kelso, is Hollywell, obviously. a very short price to win today, and he did so in taking fashion. The blinkers were back on, but let's not forget he's a dual festival winner here with the Pretemps and winning the festival chase last year. Would you give him much of a chance in the Gold Cup?
Well, I'll be honest, I haven't actually seen the race, but I've read the report. He won by 25 lengths, didn't he?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's not going to be... When he got beat the first two times, or he fell when John Joe's horses weren't firing, he got beat on his comeback run over a trip that was too short for him. So I think you can make excuses for his first two defeats, and by all accounts, he's bolted up today. So given his festival record, at the start of the season, he was the one that everyone was going, well, this is the horse that is going to be the new kid on the block. So you have to respect his performance today, his win today. I haven't seen it, but by all accounts, it was very impressive. But my instant sort of reaction to Holywell is that he was a horse that I can forgive two poor runs this year, etc. The jump, did he jump well today?
He jumped well enough. The last two he sort of got in a bit tight to, but he wasn't exactly arsed up at them. And he's jumped well enough. The blinkers seem to have had a better effect on him.
Yeah. That might be my only concern with him. He can't make any mistake to win a Gold Cup, and if he hits one hard, then his chance might be gone. So that would be the only area of concern I'd have with him, I think.
And Road to Riches as well. I really like Road to Riches, Ollie. We saw him win the Lexus. Do you think he might find one of these maybe too good on the day in the Cheltenham Gold Cup?
Yeah, I think he might. I mean, look, that was a really, really good win in the Lexus, but I think he might just... Yeah, as you say, run into one or two too good. I mean, I've heard reports from Ireland that this horse is really well fancied for the Gold Cup and what have you. I mean, he's probably arguably their main hope, isn't he, now on the back of that Lexus?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess they're going to say that, aren't they? But the point is that they quite like his chances. And I thought his Lexus win was impressive, but to me, he doesn't strike me as a sort of a real star. A horse like Sylvain Acconti, I don't think has got the credit from us in the media as he deserves. When you look at his record and his achievements, it's phenomenal. You know, I think he is a real star, and I think he'll get his Gold Cup in 2015. But if Road to Riches, for me, will need to improve quite considerably to win a Gold Cup.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from there. Well, before we let you go, Ollie, before we let you go and top up that tan in that gorgeous Los Angeles weather, we're just going to get tips from everybody first. So, Luke, I'll start with you. Give us a tip for the Betfred Cheltenham Gold Cup.
I think last year's winner, Lord Windermere, is still a bit overpriced, if you're maybe not for win purposes, but each way.
And Sam, go on then, give us your tip for the Gold Cup. Who's going to win this year's Gold Cup at Cheltenham?
I'm with Ollie, and I'm always in the Sylvain Acconti camp, so yeah, favourite for me, I'm afraid.
And Ollie, just to confirm, Sylvain Acconti gets your money?
Yeah, this is going to be a theme for these preview things that I do. I can't see past the favourites in most of the big races. I'll try on the flight back to think of one at a price I could mention. But yeah, I can't see past the favourites. Sylvain Acconti, I think he's going to take a world of beating.
And I'm going to go for the fairy tale ending, and I'm going to go for Hennessy winner Many Clouds. Ollie, thank you very much for taking up your time for talking to us here on Radio Yorkshire. And no doubt I will see you at Cheltenham next month.
My pleasure, lads. Enjoy it.
This is Yorkshire Racing with Radio Yorkshire.
You're listening to this Cheltenham special on Radio Yorkshire. Sam Bridges, Bobby Beavers and Luke Elder with you until 9 o'clock. And right now, guys, we can move on and talk all about this year's champion hurdle. Bobby, we'll start with you. Just give us a bit of a lowdown on the main protagonists in this race. Who are the runners and riders we should be looking out for?
Well, for me, Sam, we've got a top four here. You know, it is battle of the heavyweights. We've got Fahine versus the new one, versus Jeske, versus Hurricane Fly. Now, Fahine is very, very popular in this anti-post market at the moment. And Luke, I'm going to let you talk to you because I know you've got a huge soft spot for Fahine. So I'll let you do the talking.
Fahine is the potential superstar of National Hunt Racing at the moment. We had Sprinter Sacra that we're going to talk about a bit later on. He's not come back the same horse, so we need someone to step in to that boots and really be a leading light. Fahine fits that style so far. He's unbeaten. He's a short price favourite for the champion hurdle. Some would argue that maybe a bit too short on the horses that he's beaten. And he's won a Grade 1 this year out of novice company when winning the Christmas hurdle at Kempton. He only beat Purple Bay that day, and his main rival, Irving, was a disappointment. He pulled up lame at the back of the field, so he would take him on again here. But Fahina's done absolutely nothing wrong in his career. He's won over 2 miles, 2.5 miles and 3 miles, which is a very rare quality to have. And he's also a point-to-point winner before he started racing under rules. Look, he's had his jumping problems, hasn't he, Bobby? But he's never really looked like falling at any stage in his career, has he?
What all can we say about the new one? He was third in the race last year. Connection said if he didn't get hampered by our Connor, he could have potentially gone on to win the race. I'm just going to hold my thoughts there because we are now going to be joined live by Channel 4 Racing presenter Nick Luck. Nick, good evening.
Good evening, Bobby. Sorry, a minute and a half late.
Come on, Nick.
No panic, I'm here.
How are you? You well?
Yeah, I'm propped up by some extra strong Nurofen Plus. They're magnificent.
Oh,
I have many other good painkillers on the market, by the way.
Is that a good thing, Nick? Get the man flu out of the way now before the festival.
This is it. I'm trying to preempt it.
Well, Nick, we were just talking there. Look, we're talking about Fahin. We're just mentioning there about the new one. Just to come back onto to Fahin, do you think he's a worthy anti-post favourite at this stage?
Yeah, of course he's a worthy anti-post favourite because he's demolished everything in sight this season, and you know he's very much the coming force, isn't he? And physically, he just looks so different from all his rivals in the field. I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but he is a different type of beast. He's an incredibly imposing, powerful horse who also happens to have enough apparently sort of nimble alacrity to get from one side of a hurdle to the other quickly enough. It'd be really interesting to see, though, how he's played in the champion hurdle. I can't believe he's a horse that's going to be held on to right until the last moment and then produced late in the day. I'd have thought that the way he's going to beat his field is to do them in the sort of middle third of the race, if you like, for just raw power and have everything done by the time he gets to the last. But he might be so good that he can do it any which way he wants.
Hi, Nick. Luke Elder here.
Hi, Luke.
With Fahin, there's a few people begrudging his price, saying he doesn't deserve to be that price on what he's beaten, which could be fair, but obviously you've got the potential in there, and a few people just selling it down to the Mullins factor. But surely, as you mentioned, he's a very worthy favourite ahead of the new one who was disappointing last time out.
Well, the trouble is, there seems to be relatively few chinks in his armour. But the point is, he's been to the Cheltenham Festival before and demolished a high-class field. Okay, not a top-class field, but a high-class field. Couldn't have done it any easier. Arguably, his two best career performances have come on ground that's better than the ground he's been running on all season. We know that he's travelled over to England tons of times and proved just as effective here as he is in Ireland. He's likely to be ridden by the most successful festival jockey ever. You know, at what price would you lay him? That's the point. I don't really want to be backing him at that price because I think there's, you know, horses who are maybe a little bit overpriced against him, but I certainly wouldn't want to be laying him at much bigger, would you? He's a hard horse that I don't know when we start for the festival preview evening circuit. I'm sure there will be, you know, people taking strong, deliberately strong opinions against him, saying they can't have him and so on and so forth. But he's a hell of a difficult horse to construct a good case against, I think.
And Hurricane Fly will be in this field as well, Nick. He won the race back in 2011 and 2013. He's having a great season so far. And I've got to say, the last race we saw him in the Irish Champion Hurdle, at one point I thought he looked beat, but Ruby Walsh got a good tune out of him. So if you was Ruby Walsh now, who would you ride? Would you ride Fahin or would you ride Hurricane Fly?
Taking a completely dispassionate view, I'd ride Fahin because he's a horse for whom the sky could be the limit right at this point of his career. If you were going to analyse Hurricane Fly's amazing career, those two champion hurdles at Cheltenham would be right up there in terms of prestige and achievement, but would they be right up there in terms of merit on figures? Possibly not. You know, have his very best performances come at the Cheltenham Festival? They probably haven't, even though he's won two champion hurdles. That's how good the horse is. The fact that he's managed to win two of them, be placed in another two, yet they probably don't figure amongst his top 10 Grade 1 wins or whatever in terms of merit. I think he's just a magnificent horse, Hurricane Fly, but I can't see how Ruby can not ride Fahin if that's what's going to inform his decision. If what informs his decision is purely based on which horse has the better chance of winning, then he has to ride Fahin. You know, when people have likened it to Denman and Corto Star in the Gold Cup, it's a bad comparison. Ruby genuinely believed that Corto Star was the best horse in that race, and the horse had the best chance of winning. Mm. If he thought the other way, he'd have ridden Denman.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Yeah. We haven't even mentioned the new one. We just spent about 7 minutes talking about Fahin, which is worthy, but the new one also has to have a mention. Third last year, and Nick, not the most satisfying prep last time out, but possibly the ground is a good excuse for that.
Yeah, I think he is a horse who is much better on much better ground, because he's a horse who's got a tremendous turn of foot, but I'm not sure he's got that much scope at his obstacles, so I think he finds it quite hard really jumping out of bad ground, and that tends to lose him a little bit of ground. I'm not convinced that he would have won but for the being hampered by poor old Arcona last year. He wasn't making any further ground at a really crucial point in the race when they really quickened off the front end down the hill, and then he sort of needed all of the hill to claw back some of that deficit. The problem is, if you get outpaced in the Champion Hurdle, you rarely back and win. And whether that really sharp 2 miles of the new course just gets him on his head a little bit, I don't know. I'd prefer Jezky from last year's race, I think, again. They can't go quick enough for him.
You know what, Nick, as soon as you said that there, I just give a big thumbs up here in the studio, because I'm a big fan of Jezky as well. As you said, he won the race last year. I thought he were travelling beautifully in the Irish Champion Hurdle. I just think, you know, Hurricane Fly, you know, it when Ruby turned on the gas, he went. He didn't make the mistake at the last, hence why Arctic Fire had the chance to take over. But, you know, I really fancy Jezky, Nick, to win it for a second year.
Well, the thing is, he's not going to be that far in front of Hurricane Fly, is he, if they both run?
No. But,
or that far behind him, whatever. They should be pretty close to each other. But, you know, we know he loves a sound surface.
And
we know that there isn't a race that can be run too fast for Jezky, I don't think. Yeah, he just loves it when they go hell for leather. And that'll be the key. I mean, JP McManus has got a couple of potential pacemakers in. I'm not sure either of them can go fast enough. So they're going to want probably Dan Skelton's horse, the Bertie Mont, probably to blast off in front and do for them what Blue Heron did for Fahin in the Christmas Hurdle, I guess. But they'll want a really, really strong gallop to aim at. And if Fahin is the first one of the main protagonists to hunt down the pacemakers, then Jezky could be tactically poised perfectly right in his slipstream.
And just before we let you go, Nick, because obviously with the amount of races we've got to cover and the guests we're getting on as well, we're going to take tips now for the Champion Hurdle. Sam, we'll start with you this time. What's going to win the 2015 Champion Hurdle?
Yeah, tough one. And given that, there are quite a few that I fancy, so I'm going to take my each-way money, looking at the Antipast right now, and go Hurricane Fly Antipast each way.
Each way, Hurricane Fly for Sam. Luke?
I think Fahin's the banker of the festival, personally.
So Luke's saying Fahin. I'm going to go for Jezky to win it for a second year in a row. And Nick, what's going to win the 2015 Champion Hurdle?
Double B, you and me are going down together, so to speak, I'm afraid. Jezky
as well.
Excellent. And just before we let you go, Nick, you were there last weekend when, of course, AP McCoy made that announcement. Just tell us a little bit about what that was like on the day. Now you've had time to digest that news and what happened on that day when he announced he was going to retire from racing.
Well, it was pretty extraordinary, Sam. I had no inclination that he was going to do it. And the thing is, for three or four seasons, you know, every few months or so, somebody would have come up to you and whispered, McCoy's thinking of packing it in, you know, this could be it, this could be his last. It had happened so many times that we'd reached the point where you thought, well, actually, he's never going to retire. He's just going to keep going. And he'll go to 5,000 winners, 6,000 winners. So I think it probably came as more of a shock the other day than it would have done had it come sort of 2 or 3 years ago, in a sense. I know that sounds a bit perverse. But obviously those closest to him knew that it was going to happen. And it was one thing that was lovely was that so many people who'd been so closely associated with his career were at Newbury. And we were able to sort of get their reactions almost straight away. Martin Pipe spoke so brilliantly. His wife, Chanel, obviously, and his agent, Dave Roberts, that he talked about extensively afterwards. But, no, it was a pretty momentous afternoon, that's for sure. It certainly changed the complexion of our show a little bit. It had been dramatic enough with, you know, Coney Greaves' performance and then Mr. Mole whipping round at the start and Sardar Grugia getting rid of Jamie Moore and then Mr. Mole winning and then you thought, well, we've still got the Betfair hurdle to come, and then AP does that and, you know, all the balls are up in the air. So it was exciting as live television goes, but it was obviously quite a sad moment as well, because you sort of realisation dawned that this extraordinary era was coming to an end, really.
It was fascinating viewing. Nick, thank you very much for joining us this evening. And, all the best for the festival. And I hope the man flu clears up as well.
Yeah, it's getting there. It's getting there. Speak soon. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Nick.
This is Yorkshire Racing with Radio Yorkshire.
Song 2 from Blur and more guests now on our Cheltenham special. Bobby, who we got on the line now?
Well, I'm very pleased to be joined here on our Cheltenham special here on Radio Yorkshire. Next up, we're talking about the Queen Mother Champion of Chase, and we're going to be speaking to a man who rode the horse to victory back in 2014. Can he do the same again? We're going to find out right now. We're going to be joined by Jamie Moore. Jamie, good evening.
Good evening, Bobby.
How are you? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, yeah.
Excellent stuff. So, we'll talk Sardar Grugia straight away. How is he after he unseated yourself on Saturday?
Yeah, he's fine. It's just one of them things that happened. It was unfortunate. I don't know if I would have won or not, to be honest. So, he unseated me, but he's back fine. You know, he didn't actually fall, so... Yeah, he came out of it better than me.
It's Jamie, Luke Elder here. How are you doing?
Hello, mate. You all right?
Yeah. A few people made a few sort of comments about his jumping last year in the Schler. Completely different mistakes to the little niggly ones he was making at Newbury last weekend. Surely that would be ironed out by Cheltenham. He usually jumps pretty well, it will be said. Maybe just a little bit left on him at the weekend and something for him to improve on?
It was, he does usually jump very, very good. Like in the Queen Mother last year, he never missed a beat. The Clarence House was brilliant, you know. But the thing is, if no one will remember, because no one really knew the horse back then, but when he ran in the Grade 1 at Aintree, his first run back from a break, when he was in his novice season, he just made mistake after mistake after mistake. And he done a similar thing the other day when he was his first run back from a break when he had a bit of an injury. So I'm putting it down to that, really. I thought he was through that, because when he ran his first race at Chepstow last year, he didn't make any mistakes, and I thought it was just something he grew out of, but he kind of went back to how he was two seasons back. So for me, it's not really a massive disaster, you know. I think he does just do it sometimes when he's a bit fresh and stuff like that. So I fell off and that was a disaster. But the rest of it, I think that he could be better come next time he runs, you know.
So you think there could be a direct correlation between maybe him having a run after a break and his jumping maybe not being completely up to scratch?
That's right. That's what I think. I think it is just more freshness, and He just didn't get into a rhythm, you know, and it was a funny type of race. Like, I thought Mr. Mole was going to go and make the run, and he turned around at the start, and then Alexander and we went very slow, and it all just went a bit wrong from the off. But he, like, between the fences he felt good, but over him he felt rubbish. So there's plenty of fences to jump at Cheltenham, and if he runs like he did at Newbury, he won't win at Cheltenham, you know, but I'm hoping he won't.
Just a quick question, Jamie. Last year before Cheltenham, you lined up a racecourse gallop at Plumpton. Is there anything in the lines for that again this season?
Possibly. we're not too sure what we're doing yet, really. We still just, he'll do a little bit of work on Saturday morning, probably, but, yeah, we're not too sure, really. But he might go to Plumpton, he might not. We never know, we might see if there's another race before Cheltenham, you know.
Fair enough.
If we can sneak him in somewhere. But, yeah, I mean, when he won the Grade 2 a couple of years back, when he beat Finian's Rainbow, he ran 6 days before at Stratford.
Yeah.
And that was after his Aintree run, you know, and that just sort of gave him a nice gallop round. He does actually improve with racing the horse. So, I mean, our options are a little bit open at the minute, but we're not too sure.
And looking at the other horses, Jamie, in the field as well, you know, Sprinter Sacre heading the Antipost market there. What are your thoughts about Sprinter Sacre and his return as well when he finished second behind Dodging Bullets?
Yeah, he ran good. He ran better than us because at least he got round.
Yeah.
it actually looks like it could be quite a good race. I think Dodging Bullets run well. I thought Mr. Mole was very impressive the other day. And obviously, Sprinter Sacre, you've got to have the utmost respect for him. It's not going to be easy to retain his crown anyway. I don't know who will win it, but...
I was just going to say to you there, Jamie, you know, looking at the other horses in the field, you know, you mentioned Dodging Bullocks there, you mentioned Mr. Mole that we saw win on Saturday. Realistically, and I suppose it depends on which horses turn up on the day, but where do you think he could finish in this field? Do you think he could win, he could get placed? You know, where's your head at?
I don't know, really. After the other day, I'd say he'll be fourth or fifth at best. But if he turns up like the horse last year, then he surely must have a very good chance. But I couldn't be saying he'll win or anything like that. You know, I've got very much respect for all of them. You know, and like last year, we had a lot of luck. Everything went our way. We had a horse fall in front of us, and it brought Hinterland down on us, and the whole way through the season we had a lot of luck, so maybe we just got lucky last year, you know, and this year maybe it's not going so lucky.
Jamie, obviously there's been a few this year that their preps haven't gone to plan, yourself included. At the moment, or this current moment in time, who would you have down as the one to beat? Obviously Dodging Bullets has done absolutely nothing wrong so far.
Probably Dodging Bullets. If I really had to put my head on the line.
I put you on the spot there, haven't I?
Yeah, but I mean, like Mr. Mole, since AP's been winning on him, I do think he has really turned the horse around, you know. But Paul Nichols will know what he's got with them two, and Sprinter Sacre, he's just got to improve a few lengths, and he beats Dodging Bullets, you know, so which is perfectly feasible. I don't really know, to be honest with you, but possibly Dodging Bullets if you twisted my arm. Possibly, I don't really know.
So Dodging Bullets, potentially, let's say, Jamie, could be the one for you to beat in the Queen Mother Champion Chase. We're going to get some tips now from here in the studio. So Luke, I'll come to you first. You know, who's going to win the Queen Mother Champion Chase this year?
Yes, I think Side Agrees is tremendous value at 7-1. I think he'll come on big time for the run at the weekend. He didn't really look... Jamie himself never really looked to be 100% happy with him throughout the race. He didn't really jump perfectly, and 7-1's a good bet, I think.
So Side Agrilji there, round about the 7-1 mark at the moment with the bookmakers. Sam, coming to you, what's going to win the Queen Mother this year?
It's a tough one, given the fact that there's so many protagonists, and will Side Agrilji come back, will Sprinter Sacre come and go again? But I remember, Bobby, a few months ago I tipped Dodging Bullets for a big season, and I can't desert him now, so I'm going to have to go Dodging Bullets.
So Dodging Bullets there for Sam. I'm going to agree with Luke. I think Side Agrilji, not just because you're on the phone as well, Jamie, but I
don't worry about me.
I think Side Agrilji can win the Queen Mother Champion Chase for a second year. And I agree with you, round about the 7-1 mark, I think is an absolute great bet. So Jamie, me and Luke will be backing him in the Queen Mother, so please try your best. I know you will anyway.
We say sorry in advance as well.
Yeah.
But Jamie, thank you very much for speaking to us here on our Cheltenham special here on Radio Yorkshire, and obviously the best of luck and enjoy Cheltenham.
Thank you very much. Take care now. See you later.
Thank you, Jamie.
This is Yorkshire Racing with Radio Yorkshire.
You're listening to our Cheltenham special on Radio Yorkshire. Sam, Bobby and Luke with you until 9 o'clock. We've had plenty of guests already and plenty more to come. Already this evening, Ollie Bell, Nick Luck and Jamie Moore have joined us this evening. And now, Bobby, we have another guest on the line. Who's with us?
We certainly have. I'm delighted now to be joined on the phone. It's been quite a regular guest, I've got to say.
Friend of the show, you could say.
You are, sir?
A friend of the show.
A friend of the show. Absolute legend. It is Matty Batchelor. Matty, good evening.
Evening, Bobby. How are you? Okay.
Yes, I'm very well, mate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Very good.
Excellent. You keep it well. By the way, well done on Channel 4 on Saturday. I thought you did a fantastic job.
Thank you. Yeah, I bit my lip quite well, didn't I?
Keep biting it, mate.
Right then, Matty, we've got you on the show. We're going to preview the Arkle. Very good race. 2 miles is the distance. As short as 4-7. Are you going to be backing him at that price?
No, I wouldn't be backing him, Robbie, because I'm not allowed to bet. If you remember that, but if I was a betting man, I think if I had plenty of money, I think this is a good thing of the meeting to be. What I've seen, I think it's a real good horse, and I think he's going to take all the beating. If you ever look to see what can beat it, in my eyes, I don't think there was a lot. Do you?
I suppose you've got to give a bit of a squeeze to Vibrato Valtà. You know what we saw win on Saturday for the Paul Nicholls Yard. His last three runs have been wins, which included a Grade One and two Grade Twos. He is a big danger to Undersell, but when you look at what you said about what Undersell's achieved, you know he's always fell once in his career, and then apart from that, he's won every race he's been in. Won obviously latest in the Arkle Novice Chase, you know, by 15 lengths, and if he brings that in, I don't think they'll catch him.
No, they should do. When he fell, he was going to win really easy, and watching it, it was just one of those novice falls, really. He was going so well that his landing gear just didn't get up quick enough, really, and he's probably come back, he's learned from that. When he won again, he was really impressive. So I mean, Vibrato Valtà as well, I mean, I was one of his knockers. I didn't think at Cheltenham he sort of really put it all in. I think Nicholls was quoted that he's had a wind off, and he has got a new lease of life. He won the, I think it was the Henry VIII Sandown Chase, won it, and then he won at Warwick. So yeah, I mean, you'd have to respect him now on what he's done. I was one of his doubters, but I eat humble pie sort of thing, because he hasn't done nothing wrong since then. I mean, everyone, I know Barry Garrett, he was on the morning line with me Saturday, and I mean, he's still a fan of Josh's heel. I mean, to me, I don't think he jumps well enough. Did you watch it?
I'm completely with you there, Matty. I was also with you on Vibrato Valtà. I didn't think he was one that put it all in, but I'm eating a humble pie there with you. But no, for me, Joss's heel, he hasn't jumped well enough. He just might be one that needs a bit more experience. Maybe he'll benefit from a faster pace, but other than that, he'll get that faster pace within the... So we'll go back to when you mentioned earlier, when he fell on his chasing debut. That was just, for me, it was a novice fall. He just made a mistake after jumping everything perfectly and didn't really know how to get himself out of trouble. Since then, Ruby Walsh and Willie Mullins have sort of put a lid on him and got him a bit restrained, but he's still jumping as well as ever. And round Cheltenham, in his more restrained front running tactics, Matty, you can't really see anything getting near him as long as he gets round.
Exactly. I mean, that's it. I mean, if he gets round, I mean, if you ask any jockey now, if you said to him, if you could have one ride at the festival, I think every 9 out of 10 jockeys would say they'd want to ride that. As you say, when he did fall, it was a novice mistake. I think he didn't purposely run him at Cheltenham last year, because sometimes you can just go to Cheltenham and you can just blow the lid off a horse, you know. And as you say, he's quite a free-going horse, but they've said he settled a lot from last year. I think that's why they avoided Cheltenham altogether last year. As you say, if he jumps round, I mean, he's definitely the one to beat for me.
In the Gordon Elliott trained Clark Hammer, we saw win a Grade 1 novice on Boxing Day at Leopardstown. Do you think placing's at best for Clark Hammer, Matty?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I mean, he's got, I mean, Onzasola's beat him out of sight, so really, he's only going to, you'd think he's going to chase him home again. On his form, he'd have to be placed, and then if you gave him a chance, you'd have to give, what's then McManus's, Gil Gamboa, is that? That was a, yeah. Gil Gamboa. I mean, that you give that a squeak as well, so, but they, I think they've all got to do it to go and get him, really, apart from him falling. I think, I don't think he's going to be really hard to beat. For out of the English horses, only Belbrato, Veltat, the rest of them, I think the Irish, I'd be surprised if they fill the first four places, to be honest.
Yeah, it's, with Clarkham, we should mention as well, from the run in the Irish Arkle, he's got to carry £10 extra at Cheltenham, which is going to make life a hell of a lot harder. He's obviously 15 lengths behind Undersola last time out, so you really can't see him getting much closer than that, can you, Matt?
No, not at all, not at all. I mean, as you say, the only thing, as well, going back to Josh's Hill, the faster pace probably would suit him. And at Kempton, to be honest, I thought if there was a day he'd get beat, he would get beat. I know Kempton's a flat track and it's a speed track, but it was 2.5. And I forgot to ask Barry, I didn't really have time on Saturday, but I just wonder if he's a doubtful stayer.
I see where you're coming from.
I just want, but then again, a lot of people say you have to stay to win an Arkle, don't you? Because it's all about speed, and then you've still got that hill. So it's, the more you look at it and sort of the more you analyse it, he's a big negative, really. But Barry's so sweet on him. He's really sweet on him.
But it's quite frustrating as well, because when you look at him, Matty, he's got all the makings to make a good chaser. He's a big, strong horse, but he just can't seem to get it right with the jumping and with the fences, can he?
No, exactly. I mean, if you take last year, he won at Aintree. He was second to Vautour at Cheltenham in the Supreme Novice Hurdle last year. It's all good form, and it should all point to being, to be available, is going to be a better chaser. But if you've seen him jump, the last few at Doncaster, I thought he was very good. He was electrifying, and he was real good. And everything Barry asked him, whether he was long or he left him alone, he went in a short, and he was real good. So you thought, when he ran again, you thought, wow, that's all right. He might have learned from Doncaster, and he'd come back. But I mean, he shouldn't. I mean, for a place like Henderson's, but if you see their schooling facilities, I mean, it's absolutely second to none.
Mm.
So the horse is either not sort of fully concentrating on what he's doing, because if you couldn't get one to school at Henderson's, like horses, you can teach them and teach them and teach them, but they've still got to take it on board in their own heads. And to me, it just seems like he's not taking on board what he's got to do. When he's good, he's very good, but when he's not, he can make some alarming mistakes, can't he?
Yeah, I agree with you there, because we saw it at Kempton when I think it was in the back straight, and he completely started to jump before he only went near the fencing, and Barry really did have to sit tight in there. We just saw a push for time, Matty, because we have got to go into the news. So we're going to get tips now for the Arkle. Sam, I'll start with you. What's going to win this year's Arkle?
Well, after everything that's been said, I can't not go Arkle for the favourite.
So you're going to go for Undersea. Luke, who are you going for?
It's horrifically boring, but Undersea for me. He'd make a cracking double with Fahine that we mentioned earlier, though, on day one.
And I'm going to go for Josses Hill. No, I'm joking. I'm going to go for...
I was about to jump the desk for you there, Bobby.
joking aside, Undersea for me as well. Matty, is it a bit of a silly question, or are we going to go for Undersea?
Right, I'm going to get outside the box here. I'm going to give your listeners, here, now, live, I'm going to give them the tri-cast in the Arkle.
Go on, Matty.
On the show, Gil Gamboa, Clarkham. There you go. You've heard it here.
We've heard it here first. That's going to be great. I think I'm going to go down to the bookies after. Matty, thank you very much for speaking to us here on Radio Yorkshire. Always a pleasure to have you on. And thank you as well for supporting our Cheltenham preview show tonight here on Radio Yorkshire.
Thanks, Alex. All the best.
This is Yorkshire Racing with Radio Yorkshire. We'll be right back.
back to the Cheltenham preview live here on Radio Yorkshire. We're going to be hearing from John Blance to talk about the World Hurdle. We're going to be speaking to Tom Scudamore about his mount in the RSA. He'll be riding King's Ballast. And also, we're going to be hearing from Mark Pearson. Give us all the latest odds from Betfred.
Oh, Bobby, you badly mistimed this one.
You said go.
Normally back on. He's normally on the money, but he's fallen short. Not for the first time. Bobby. Welcome back to the second hour of this Cheltenham preview. Now, Red, this is it, Bobby.
Oh, he's here.
Oh. This is Yorkshire Racing with Radio Yorkshire.
Oh, Bobby.
I know. Let down.
Every week you bang on the money with.
I've never got that wrong. I think it's the nerves. Yeah, it was the dancing to the old Channel 4 racing
theme. It's a good job this is radio because they were horrible moves.
it's cost him a dad now, isn't it? So he's like daddy dancing, that's what it were. Sam gets it. You want it all to come.
God.
So welcome back to the second hour of our Cheltenham special here on Radio Yorkshire. The voice you heard commentating on the Channel 4 theme was Bobby Beavers. We're also in the company of Luke Elder tonight, and I'm Sam Bridges. So we're with you until 9 o'clock. A few more guests to come. We've had a busy first hour. Ollie Bell, Nick Luck, Jamie Moore and Matty Batchelor all joined us, and Bobby, we've got another guest on the line now ready to talk to us.
Yes, very pleased now to be joined on the phone by a man who was commentating this afternoon at Kelso, who called it Hollywell home to victory here this afternoon. He's an At the Races presenter, also works for SIS, and as I said, he's also a course commentator. Making his debut here on our racing show is John Blance. John, good evening.
Good evening, chaps. How are you doing?
Very well. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm still being taken down memory lane by that theme tune, the old Channel 4
Do you reckon you could commentate to that, John?
My timing might be slightly better than Bobby's there. As I say, it was nice to be taken down memory lane. I'm still reeling from that nuts in a bag instead of a bowl story as well from the news earlier on. That was a slightly strange one. So there we go.
Just before we are going to preview the World Hurdle with you, but just quickly, John, you have been commentating this afternoon at Kelso. You saw Hollywell win. What did you think to his performance this afternoon?
Well, he jumped the first to it rather stickily. After that, he was fine. I mean, to be honest, on the form figures, it was a race that he could have won very easily, and he did. It's noticeable that Tony McCoy didn't muck around with him. Once he'd made that error, he got him straight to the business end, got him jumping from the front. His jumping got much better as it went on. And it confirmed that he's probably in pretty good health. Whether he's a good bet for the Cheltenham Gold Cup, that's a bit more debatable, but certainly no problems today. I think he might be better, actually, as last season proved. He might be better at Aintree a few weeks after the Cheltenham Festival, but certainly everything seemed fine today.
Yeah, well said. I did watch the race. As I say, it was a bit debatable at the first, but you know, he's got past the winning post first, and he's done nothing wrong in respect of his preparation for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Now we're going to talk about the World Hurdle with yourself, John, and Safir de Ruhr is heading the market at the moment in the Antipost. We saw him win the Cleve over course and distance. Do you think, you know, Safir de Ruhr, you know, he's heading the market at the moment? Can he go and win the World Hurdle?
I think he's got a very good chance. I mean, obviously the more of that story from the last 24 hours has kind of put things up in the air. I mean, looks like unless he makes a Lazarus-like recovery, he's not going to be there for the World Hurdle on the Thursday. But I think Safir de Ruhr, obviously there are parallels that have been drawn between that one and Big Bucks, given that he went over fences, didn't really work out for him, and he's been brought back and he won the Cleve Hurdle. It was a pretty good effort, and Paul Nicholls seemed quite happy because I think he intimated after the race that he wasn't 100% fit, or he could have him sharper for Cheltenham. I'm just having the back of my mind that he didn't run particularly well in a handicap, but I think it was the Fred Winter a couple of seasons back at the Cheltenham Festival. So I think he's not one that you would say you want to, you know, lay him up to your tonsils when it comes to the race and take a view that he can't win. But for me, I'd be looking for something else at a slightly better price, something with more Cheltenham Festival form to its name, I think.
It's John, Luke out here, how are you?
Hello, Luke, are you all right?
Yeah, not too bad. You mentioned Safir de Ruhr coming back from chasing then. I stupidly backed him for the JLT, so I'm mortified about that. But how much of a worry would that be for you for a horse coming back from fences? Obviously, he's proved that it's no problem handling hurdles now, and he ran a big race in the Cleve, but would you just have something in the back of your mind that's doubting him a little bit. Obviously,
it does. I mean, speaking as a punter, when that happens, you know, you see a horse and running over hurdles, but it's been running over fences recently. You think, well, will it be absolutely sharp for this? Will it be knowing what it's doing in that situation? And it does sometimes put me off. You might see a horse that's well in on the figures, but it's coming back hurdling from chasing, and you just get a little bit worried about that. I thought he ran very well the other day. I mean, Rev de Civilla is a difficult horse to beat on soft ground in the middle of winter, and he did that, and he fought very hard. After declaring interest as well, I was on Rev de Civilla that day, and I thought jumping the last he'd win, but I was surprised and rather annoyed to see Sappy de Rose stick his neck out and go on and win. But as I say, I'm not saying he can't win, but to me there are one or two others a bit further down that are slightly better value come the day of the race. But if you fancy Safi de Ra, I certainly wouldn't sit here and put you off him.
Yeah, so one of his main dangers could come from within his own stable in Zarkandar, who's he's been a very good horse over the years, but he's never really won that top class race. Obviously won the Triumph Hurdle, but at Cheltenham he's always come up a little bit short. This is he ran in this race last year. Possibly.
I think the general view of this horse is that last year they rode him as a suspect stayer, and they weren't sure whether he'd definitely get the trip. And if you watch the recording of last year's race, he was just about last coming down the hill for the final time, and then he really got going into the race and finished fourth. He was charging up the hill, and as you say, he's a Triumph Hurdle winner. I think he was fifth or sixth in the Champion Hurdle the following year as well. So he's got some pretty solid festival form. If he was to be ridden a bit closer to the pace, and I think that's going to be the general idea, I think Zarkander's got a very good chance. As I say, last year was a bit more of a fact-finding mission, and I think this year he's got a very solid chance at forecast prices.
And you mentioned they're looking for horses with a little bit of value, I suppose, but you've got Rock and Ruby in this field. That's around about the 8-1 mark, who we've seen win his last two hurdle races, which one of them included a grade two. Would you say there's a slight doubt there? Will he stay the 3 miles?
I think he probably will. If I had to have a bet, I would probably each way, or you know, there are some great place only bets as well you can have on the Cheltenham Festival these days.
Oh, we seem to have lost John there.
Oh, should we try getting back? Well, I'll tell you what, Luke, I'll talk to you. You know, Rocco Ruby, he went chasing. You know, it didn't quite go according to plan there. You know, they've done right bringing him back to the hurdles. But it's kind of similar, to be honest with you, with Annie Power, isn't it, Luke? It's very similar to Annie Power. I believe we've got John back on the phone now. Sorry about that, John. We lost you for a brief second there. Just continue to say what you're about with Rock on Ruby.
Yeah, I think Rock on Ruby will be a decent sort of place-only bet, each-way bet on the day of the race. You know, he's got this tremendous Cheltenham Festival record, save for what happened in the Arkle last year, when he obviously wasn't or didn't take to jumping fences. But what, he's second in a Neptune Hurdle, a winner of a Champion Hurdle, then he was second again in another Champion Hurdle. I just think that it's a slight question mark about the trip, but if the ground's decent, I don't think there should really be any problems. And that the two races he's won this year, possibly a little bit on the weak side, but he could do no more than win them. And for me, you know, I'm a big fan, and I have been for quite a few years now, of horses bringing back good Cheltenham Festival form to the table, and he can certainly do that. And I think at the forecast prices, he's very, very solid bet.
And if you was Willie Mullins, where would you what race would you run Annie Power in?
Well, he's got an embarrassment of riches, hasn't he? I mean, it looks like they're going to run her in the Mayor's Hurdle, because if you look at the betting for the World Hurdle, she's an enormous price, and she wouldn't be that price if she was definitely going to run. I mean, if you watch the race from the World Hurdle last year, she pulled Ruby's arms out for a large chunk of the race, and yet she still had enough about her to finish second. I personally, as a sportsman, as a punter, as someone who loves the Cheltenham Festival, I'd like to see her run in as higher class race as possible. And without being rude about the Mayor's Hurdle, there aren't many high class horses in that race. I'd like to see her to run in the World Hurdle, or maybe even the Champion Hurdle one day. But they've obviously, I think they've got their mind on her being the new Quivega, and fair, you know, they can do what they like with the horse, but. I think if Annie Power was to run, especially if more of that wasn't going to run, Annie Power would be the horse I'd want to back. But it looks like she's not going to run, so.
It's going a bit further down the list. If we keep going down, you get to the one that I fancy eventually. We'll get there, though. And Tom Poitou is probably worth a mention after finishing third in the Cleve. That was off the back of a long absence and was very well backed in the market.
I've heard a word or two from people who know more about these things than me that there's a bit more to come from that horse. And as you say, still pretty unexposed, hasn't done too much racing so far. Well, had one or two problems, but there was a lot to be encouraged about. I would like to see a bit more of this horse before I would say it's definitely championship standard. But, you know, it was a very good run last time. And as I say, one or two quietly fancied to really step up from what it did in the Cleve.
Yeah, obviously it's a horse that's going to bring a lot more, possibly in the future. Still a young, up-and-coming horse. One that I'm going to let you shoot me down on, the one that I fancy, that we've only seen once this year, that was in the Railco, has beat that for Nicky Henderson. There's been a few problems with him at the start of the season that have been fairly well documented, but he seems to be on track for this race, and he seems to be the Nicky Henderson number one horse for the race. Would you have beat that on your mind, or are you going to tell me to shut up?
Well, no, I would never tell you to shut up. It's wonderful to have all these opinions about all the races at the Cheltenham Festival, and that's what makes it such a great 4 days. For me, again, not enough has been done in the book. You can tell that the stable really like this horse, but he's been a bit disappointing, and he should have probably run a bit better last time out in that race at Cheltenham that Rock on Ruby won. And I just think that, again, you'd want to see a bit more of sort of top-class form. But clearly, I'm pretty convinced that the stable quite like him. He may be one of those horses that they're trying desperately hard to reproduce what it shows at home on the track itself.
And just moving further down the list as well, John, we are short on time here, but round about 33-1, we've got Cole Harding for the Warren Grey Trick Show. Now, I was there that day when he won the Grade 2 at Wetherby, when he beat Medinison and at Fisher's Cross as well. You know, it gave a great performance there. We saw him finish fourth in the Cleve Hurdle. You know, at the price, you know, would you be tempted to give him a nice little each way show?
Possibly, yeah. The great thing about Cole Harding is you get a really wholehearted run for your money, and he'd be up there with the pace. He jumps nicely. I think if he gets better ground at the festival, which he normally get at the festival these days, he'd probably go better than he did in the Cleve. He was quite impressive at Wetherby. Actually, he surprised me when he won at Wetherby. But I think class-wise, there are a good handful that are probably better than him. But I think he's a really commendable horse. He might be one of those horses in a bit of a twilight zone. He'd be too high for a handicap at the Cheltenham Festival, unfortunately. But probably not quite good enough to win a championship level. But as I say, maybe, like I said before, you can get some good place markets. You can also, on the morning of the race, you'd be able to get four to be placed on the exchanges. And if you fancy that the horse will run well, but not necessarily have enough to win, those are the types of markets to get involved in. But for me, not quite good enough at the moment.
Yeah, regarding Cole Harding as well, John, it's been said since his last run in the Cleve that he suffered from a few wind problems, and he's had his breathing operation now. Is this maybe a little bit rushed to come back from an operation like that? Obviously, we don't know how severe the breathing operation was, but it's something worth taking into account with Cole Harding.
Well, I think it is. Yeah, I mean, as much as I would love to be a National Hunt trainer, I haven't really got the knowledge of all that veterinary stuff to be sure. And a lot of horses, you know, they make full recoveries from breathing operations, and it not only make them full recoveries, it improves them. But you know, and maybe it will. And like I say, a more wholehearted horse he couldn't wish to find. And those are often, you know, it's very good sometimes to find horses that really give everything and find their level and find what they're good at, because they'll never let you down. But as I say, I just think if he was mine, I'd probably rather have him. Maybe he's running in the Potemps final off a big weight than running in this at a high level. I mean, like I say, I might be wrong about him, and as I say, really, really wholehearted horse. But for me, he'd probably find one or two too good.
And what we're going to do now, John, we are going to get our tips for this race. So, Luke, I'll start with you. World Hurdle, what are you fancying?
I'm going to be a sucker, and there's 16-1 around for Beat That. I'm going to follow him off a cliff, I think.
So, Beat That there for Luke. Sam, what you think is going to win the World Hurdle this year?
I'm going to take a slight bit of value right now and go Zarkander.
Zarkander there for Sam. I'm going to go for Rock on Ruby, back hurdling now, and I think he will stay. So I'm hoping he's going to give me a good run for my money. And John, where's your money at for the World Hurdle?
Well, it's going to be tight. I mean, had more of that run, I would have backed him, but he can't really get involved now, I wouldn't have thought. So for me, it's a toss-up between Rock on Ruby and Zarkander. I'm going to go with Zarkander. With Rock on Ruby as a sort of place bet as well on the day, but Zarkander to win.
Zarkander to win there. John, thank you very much for speaking to us here on our Cheltenham preview on Radio Yorkshire. And thank you for giving us an insight and preview in the World Hurdle.
Pleasure. No problems at all.
This is Yorkshire Racing with Radio Yorkshire.
Right now, Bobby, the guests keep coming thick and fast, and let us know who is on the line now.
Yeah, they certainly do, Sam. Earlier on, we spoke to Cider Grugy's jockey, Jamie Moore, and now we're going to speak to King Palace's jockey, Thomas Scudamore. Tom, good evening.
Good evening, how are you?
Very well, Tom. How's yourself?
Very good indeed, thank you very much.
First question I've got to ask you after the race we saw on Saturday, how is King's Palace?
Yeah, all I know is he's fine. He's come out of it fine. David's happy with him, and all systems go now. He's got the last run out of the way, and we can concentrate on Cheltenham.
Hi, Tom. Luke out of here. How are you?
Very good indeed. Thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. It's a redundant question now because he didn't get an entry, but it's just one that's been mulling on my mind. Do you know how close he was to potentially getting an entry in the JLT and trying to go from the front there?
Ah, no, the two entries he got obviously were for the Gold Cup and for the RSA.
Yeah.
He's always been a 3-miler, and we're never going to drop him back in trip at this stage. And he was the RSA from the minute he came in at the beginning of the season. Has always been the aim, and hopefully we can count down the weeks now and stay in one piece and get there.
His jumping's been pretty superb so far this season, albeit one slight mishap at Newbury last Saturday. Do you think he'd meet the demands of the RSA? He's proved that he can stay the marathon trips, but a few people are just questioning whether he's an out-and-out RSA horse, and obviously Coney Gree is going to be taking on him on the front end if he were to choose to come this route. Would you see that as a potential problem?
No. When you get to the championship races, you're not going to have it your own way. It doesn't matter what level you're at when you get to Cheltenham, everyone's going to be taking you on. That's the whole point of the championship races, finding out who can cope best with the demands. Say whether it's you're going to be taken on or whether you can handle going at that pace and the rest of it. That's the reason you've got to be able to maintain it just over 3 miles. And that's the whole point of the championship races. And unfortunately, the only way we're going to get the answer is on the Wednesday at Cheltenham. But I see no reason why he can't. He seems a much more relaxed individual this year. I think he's a better horse this year, and he's already coped with the demands of Cheltenham, which many of the others haven't. And I always think going to Cheltenham, it's so important to have that course form. It's just one of the unknowns that you've ticked. You're going to be able to cope with it.
And how important, Tom, is that course form? Because it's won 4 times at Cheltenham, twice over hurdles, twice over the fences. Did you see that as key and quite important?
Yeah, I think it's important. I think it's just one of those things where you know what you're going to get. You can handle the undulations. Not every horse is going to be able to act around Cheltenham. And the fact you've gone there and won and showing a high level of form around there, just certainly puts your own mind at ease.
And heading the market at the moment in the RSA is Don Polly. There is a question mark whether or not he's going to go for the 4-miler, but he may be running in the RSA. He won a Grade 1 novice in December. He's taken really well to fences like King's Palace has. Do you think will be a huge danger on the day should he run in the RSA?
Oh yeah, you've already mentioned the two, as I think at the moment, the two main dangers in Don Polly and Connie Gray. If all three were to turn up on the day, it's going to make a very exciting race. It's going to be an exciting race anyway, but they've all shown very high levels of form already, and probably enough in any other year to be a rock solid favourite for the RSA. It's going to be an interesting matchup. I've been impressed with him so far this season. But he's got to come back. He's already a festival winner in his own right, and he's got to come back and do it again. But it's shaping up to be one of the races of the festival, that's for sure.
is probably one of the more unknown races of the festival as well, in the sense that the first four in the market really don't have cemented targets. Don Poli, obviously, the RSA and the Four Miler, King's Palace and Konigree, the RSA and the Gold Cup, and the Young Master as well, the RSA and the Four Miler. King's Palace, with you and connections, would you be leaning more towards the RSA then as opposed to the Gold Cup?
He only got an entry in the Gold Cup, just a speculative one, really. Just in case anything went wrong with any of the leading candidates, but I think he's been scratched from the Gold Cup now, so I think the RSA is his only option left, and that's always been his target.
Would as opposed to tactics in the RSA as well, we're seeing King's Palace from very good effect from the front end. Konigree possibly will take him on if he turns up. Would you maybe think about reserving him a little bit more and just holding him back, trying to track Konigree, or would you definitely try and push on from the front as he's used to?
It's one of those things. I know King's Palace's strength, and he jumps and he stays. So you just, it's one of those things. You keep it simple and ride him to his best effect. He doesn't have to make the running. He hasn't made it. First time out, I rode him this season, I didn't make the running. On him, I got a lead for the first circuit, and when I rode him over hurdles the first couple of times, I got a lead in him as well. It's just that he's sort of taken me to the front, and he's enthusiastic. He's got a high cruising speed, and he can keep it going. But if Konigree wants to go faster than me, then that's up to him. But I'll be concentrating on King's Palace's strength, and hopefully all the rest will be behind me when it matters.
So what we do normally now, Tom, we normally get tips for the race. Obviously, would it be right to ask you for a tip for the race? So I'm going to ask you, out of the horses running, who's the main danger to King's Palace in the RSA?
It's very hard to split Don Poli and Konigree, but just on his last run, Konigree was impressive running the Aeon. Demon Chaser is now, and that was a cracking performance for novice to go and do that. He always knew he had a very high level of form, and his novice hurdle form was outstanding as well. Any other year if it wasn't for King's Palace and Don Poli, he'd be probably long odds on by now. It's a cracking race, but. I've been very impressed with him. I've had the misfortune of once already following home, and once he ran Newbury this season, and I don't want to do it again. But he's a top quality horse, and he'll be a hard nut to crack. But hopefully, King's Palace can do it.
Yeah, definitely. So, Tom saying there, gentlemen, that Konigree could be the big danger. Should Konigree run in the RSA, he could be the big danger too to King's Palace. Luke, what's your tip for this race?
Tom will be delighted to know that I'm going against King's Palace with Don Poli, so that'll rule him out. But I've been very impressed with Don Poli. I think he may be the one to benefit most from a strong pace set by, hopefully, King's Palace and Konigree. And he beat Apache Stronghold last time out, which looks very good form.
Sam?
I'm going to agree and go Konigree.
You're going to go Konigree as well, and I'm going to go for King's Palace to win the RSA. As I said to you earlier on, gentlemen, he's won four times at Cheltenham, twice over hurdles, twice over fences. He includes a course in distance. Tom said as well just there, it's very important to get that experience in and running at Cheltenham. So I'm going to go for King's Palace to win the RSA. Tom, thank you very much for speaking to us here on Radio Yorkshire, and have a fantastic time when you go to Cheltenham in 4 weeks' time.
Thank you very much. Pleasure.
Thanks, Tom.
See you later, Tom.
Thank you.
There we go. That's the top jockey, Tom Scudamore, talking all about the RSA chase. And guys, just give me your selections again. I didn't write it down. I've been writing every single one down, but I didn't write those down. Come on, Bobby. Just do that again in case people missed it.
King's Palace to win the RSA.
Personally, I'm with Don Poli. Hopefully he turns up here as well.
And what did you say? You went Konigree, didn't you?
I'm going Konigree, yeah.
Oh, we've got all bases covered.
Oh, yeah, all bases covered.
Just before we talk about the Triumph Hurdle, lads, I'm going to ask you something now. Konigree, should he go for the Gold Cup or should he go for the RSA?
Usually I'm the first one to say that novices should not go for the Gold Cup because it's too much of a demand.
Mm-hmm.
Konigree, I think, could be an exception. He's getting on a little bit in years for a novice. He's 8 years old now, so if he goes to the RSA this year, he could be potentially running out of chances at his peak. So I wouldn't be against him this year.
And Sam, changing the subject completely, if you was Ruby Walsh, would you ride Hurricane Fly or Fahine?
Well, I've already gone for Hurricane Fly, so I would have to say Hurricane Fly.
You would ride Hurricane Fly.
But he's going to take Fahine. But I hope he rides Hurricane Fly. I've already predicted that one. Each way anyway. What have we got left to come, Bobby? Just remind us what's left to come in the last 30 minutes of the show tonight.
Well, we're going to discuss the Triumph Hurdle. Myself and Luke and you as well, some peace and co's in this field, which is my nap of the festival. I said that at the beginning of the show as well. So peace and co. I'm very excited to talk. He always puts a big smile on my face. He says, like Luke's got a soft spot for Heen, I've got a huge soft spot.
I'm with you, Peace and Co. I'm with you on that one.
He's a great horse, and we're also going to be speaking to Mark Pearson as well from Betfred. He's going on the show, and we'll go over what we've selected. If you are just tuning in now, we'll go over what we've selected and what people have said, you know, what Nick Luck said and what Jamie Moore said and Tom, etc. And we'll get all the latest anti-post betting with Betfred. So it's all going to happen in this next half an hour. Maybe, you know, there might be a bit of value in a few of the tips we've given as well, gentlemen.
Well, fingers crossed. Go on then, let's talk Triumph Hurdle. What makes Peace & Co so special?
Well, here we go.
Feet up, Bobby.
Once upon a time. No, the thing is, though, Sam, I was there at Doncaster when he won the Summit Juvenile Hurdle by 19 lengths. You know, you had Star Architect in that field as well for Donald McCain. You also had a Paul Nichols horse as well. I can't think what the Paul Nichols horse was called, but Peace & Co. just blew every single of his opponents out of the water. You know, he travelled absolutely beautifully. Darrell Jacob gave him a fine ride. I said to Darrell, you just had to sit there, and he said, well, he said, it was a bit harder than that, you know. He said, I did have to do a bit of steering, but he jumped beautifully. He travelled beautifully. And then we saw him win the Triumph Hurdle trial by 3 lengths at Cheltenham. You know, again, absolutely superb. Barry Geraghty did have to restrain him, though, didn't he, Luke? You know, when the Tate went down and Peace & Co went, you know, his head were all over the place. Mm. Peace & Co just wanted to run, but Barry Geraghty, you know, had to restrain and hold tight.
That's one of the things that's annoying me about people arguing against Peace & Co. They're saying that he's far too keen in this race. That's true, he was a touch keen at Doncaster, nothing to really worry about. He was very keen at Cheltenham. However, you have to factor in that they went an absolute crawl that day, and the Triumph Hurdle, it just will not be run at that pace. They're going to be going flat out from the start, which will suit Peace & Co. Mm-hmm. I think his main asset is his jumping. Before the Doncaster race, someone put on Twitter a link to his win in France, and he jumped absolutely impeccably that day. Mm-hmm. He did exactly the same at Doncaster. He jumped well enough at Cheltenham last time. Maybe when they quickened up very suddenly, he maybe got caught out at one or two hurdles, but there's absolutely nothing not to like about Peace & Co. I think he's by far the leading juvenile this season, but the main danger could come from within his own yard in Hargam.
Yeah, Hargam, he won over course and distance in December. Where we saw him at Musselburgh, he just cantered. That's two Nicky Henderson horses that speak Star Architect. Yeah. But that run with Hargam at Musselburgh, he just cantered into. You know what I mean? It was just a day out of the races for him, for what I could see.
Well, I was covering that race for William Hill, so I did it fairly in depth. But look, you'd love to say that you've got a form line between Peace & Co. and Hargam, but you could say Peace & Co beat him by much further, but Hargam could have beat him by just as far. It was just AP McCoy was very restrained on Hargam. We didn't learn a great deal about him that day. He was a very good flat horse back in France. He's come over hurdles now, but I've got one slight reservation about Hargam, and that is his will to battle. He got out battled by Golden Doyen on his debut in England. Some people have been putting that down to the ground, which is probably a more than adequate excuse, but I don't like the fact that he's hit the front and then gone back. There's also an argument that he battled with Karizak next time out when he won at Cheltenham, but still, they were a long way apart that time, and it wasn't a real street fight that he's going to have to get into at the Triumph. I just question his resolution a little bit, but you can't question his talent. He looks a very high-class juvenile.
And the William Mullins train, you know, Calca, second in a grade one at Leopardstown on Sunday. I can see you shaking your head. You're not convinced, are you, Luke?
He was meant to be the big one at the start of the season. It was the one that had a few people raving, and he won on debut very, very nicely. He got beat on Boxing Day on softer ground than ideal, and I was more than willing to forgive that. He lost to a good horse in Fiscal Focus that will also come here that we'll cover in a second. But at the weekend, there was no excuses. He was beaten on merit. His jumping was fine. He was in front turning for home, and Petit Parisien just picked him off, and there are absolutely no excuses at the weekend. He'd have to show a considerable improvement to even figure in a Triumph Hurdle.
And Petit Parisien, what you mentioned there, it's interesting because we saw him finish second in a maiden. Brian Cooper came out and said, you know, I'm going to hold my hands up, it is my fault, and then he goes and wins a Grade 1. You know, potentially, well, I'm looking at this field now, Lou, and I think the main danger to Peace & Co. might be Petit Parisien.
I wouldn't completely disagree with you. You mentioned Brian Cooper came out and said from his maiden hurdle that he didn't give it the best of rides, but he overturned the form in a big, big way with Chatham House rules. 2 weekends ago now, isn't it? It's flying by, isn't it?
Wow. It is. But we're getting old.
Well, you are. Sorry about that. You've been alluding to me being young the whole show. I'm gonna give you a dig on one. But look, Petit Parisien did absolutely nothing wrong at the weekend. There was a lot to like about the performance. He really brushed aside Calcare, who, for all that I knocked him a second ago, he didn't run that bad of a race. For it to be a Grade 1, he just came with big expectations, and people were disappointed with that, understandably so. But Petit Parisien is one to take seriously, and I think 10-1 biggest price, that could be a fair each way shout.
And with the Calcare as well, you know, he said he didn't run that great last time. Do you think the support in the market's there, and you know, you're willing to think that actually he can win the Triumph Hurdle purely based on the fact it's a Willie Mullins yard? Willie Mullins horse, should I say?
Well, there's plenty of Willie Mullins horses that could go for this race. De Cosimo is ahead of him in the market. I just think this might come a bit too soon for De Cosimo if he even came over. They're still debating that at the moment. He looks like a ready-made chaser, but he was impressive enough last time out and looks to be one that has the world at his feet. But look, Calcare has got to improve significantly on what he showed us on Sunday, but it's not out of the realms of possibility that he could show that, is it?
No, not at all. And it's interesting as well, because as I say, I love Peace & Co. And I really want to see him, you know, go to Cheltenham and win the race. And I suppose, like, I know you follow the anti-post market quite a lot, and you like to have the odd bet here and there. But just to, you know, to summarise, you know, how much he's been backed this horse, only purely in the anti-post, but it was 20-1 Peace & Co. before the Summit Juvenile. As soon as he won that race, it went into 7-1. It then went into 6-1 at joint favourite within the space of 10 minutes, because my Twitter from bookmakers was going crazy, and I was like, what can I write in my report, you know, see what he's going to do? And look at it now, Lou, he's as short as 7-4 with some of these bookmakers.
He's as short as 11-8, looking at it
now.
Oh,
wow.
He's much shorter than that.
Wow, so we're talking now, you know, 11-8, so he's even shorter. Are we going to see him odds on before the festival?
Oh, a Triumph Hurdle odds on shot, that would be very uneasy with me. As much as I rate Peace & Co., I wouldn't want to see a Triumph Hurdle favourite at odds on. I think he's about the right price at the moment. There's potential for him to be around 6-4 on the day, but 9-4 biggest price at the moment. You'd imagine a few bookmakers will come out with a few offers on the day as well, but I really can't find many things to put against Peace & Co. And I can't find many that's going to serve it up to him either. I'm definitely in your camp, Bobby. I really, really like the horse, and I just think I love the way he jumps. He's so slick over his hurdles. He hasn't really made a proper mistake over here. He's been a bit niggly at a couple, but look, if you're trying to fault him, then you need to ask someone else for that.
Yeah, no. You know, I think he's one of those sort of horses where there's nothing to fault. You know, I've said this numerous times, but to stand in... Go on, sorry, though.
Sorry, just one of the faults that I heard a few people mentioning was that up the hill at Cheltenham when he beat Karazak, a few people saying that he was looking around. I heard, I think it was Robbie McNamara on the Final Furlong podcast, he said that he changed his legs late on, which can indicate a sign of tiredness. I just think he was idling a little bit in front. It's his second run in this country, and he's all alone up the Cheltenham Hill with crowds both sides of him cheering him home. He could have been a little bit daunted by that, and let's not forget he's still only a 4-year-old, so he's a very young horse.
He's a baby.
He'll learn a lot for that. But for all the people that were saying that he was stopping up the hill, he was putting distance between himself and Karazak. And,
yeah,
and
Karazak, three lengths as well.
Yeah, well, Karazak's no slouch in himself, and he'd come here with a viable each-way chance.
He can't have been getting tired too much if he's beat the second horse by three lengths there. So I think we, myself and you, I think we're both in agreement. Sam's here as well. He's tipping to. Are you team Bobby and team Luke and going against with PC Corrigan? Oh, hang on.
On this show, I'm not having us all go for the same horse more than once. We did it with the Arca. So I'm gonna oppose you just for the fun of it, really. I've had to sit here and listen to Bobby bang on about Peace and Co. so much over the last few months that I actually want the horse to get beat. So
I'm sacrilege.
We're falling out.
Horgan's had a couple of runs at Cheltenham. One, he didn't win one. He did one very close to getting up. So I'm going to go for that. At the price is 7-1 at the moment. Represents a good bit of each way value for me at this point in the anti-post market, and that's what I like to go for. I'm a bit more of an each way punter, to be honest. So I'm gonna take Hargam.
One I wanted to mention a big price that I gave a little mention to early on is Fiscal Focus, who hasn't done a lot wrong over hurdles. He beat Kalkir, I think it was about 17 lengths on his hurdling debut, and Kalkir had a few excuses that day, but he's second time out he got thrown in really in the deep end. I think Ruby Walsh described it as being thrown off the back of the Titanic. He was in that deep, but that was in the Irish Champion Hurdle behind Hurricane Fly, Jeski, and Arctic Fire. That's a big ask for a 4-year-old and his second start over hurdles. I thought he ran really well that day. There's a few people knocking him for his finishing position, but turning for home, he was bang there. If he runs to that sort of ability in the Triumph Hurdle, then he's going to be a big player. 20-1, I think, is a huge each way price.
So as you say, Peace and Co to win, Fiscal Focus is the each way bet.
No doubt on that.
I'll tell you what, then I'll go for a win in an each way as well. So without a shadow of a doubt, no surprise to the Radio Yorkshire listeners and the people listening around the UK now, but I'm going to go for Peace and Co to win.
Shocker.
Yep, shock. but I'm going to go for Petit Parisien to finish second there. So that's the Triumph Hurdle preview. Hopefully, and I'm praying as well that we've tipped the winner there, because I really do want to see Peace and Co win. Just to let you know as well, Sam, AP McCoy should be riding Hargam. It's that McCoy factor.
Yep.
I want to go on a high, get as many winners as he can.
Yeah, I'll buy into that. I'm going to back that. After the show tonight, I'm not going home. I'm going to back all my selections before I leave the building this evening, just so I don't back out on any. Right, well, that's a Triumph done, and that's all of our seven major races that we selected out done and dusted. We're going to review them all in a few moments' time with Mark Pearson from Betfred. Stay there.
Yorkshire Racing with Radio Yorkshire.